We have celebrated the last few weeks. We have celebrated the hope that we have in Christ. We have celebrated the peace that we have through the coming of Christ. Last week, we celebrated the joy that we have of those surrendered to the one true King because of what Christ has done for us. This week, we get to celebrate the love of God that we have come to know in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like the love of God. There is a popular Christian song that sings about the reckless love of God. And we're not hating on the song because when they talk about the reckless love of God, what they mean is the amazing, surprising, extravagant love of God. That's what they mean when they sing about the reckless love of God. But reckless does have a definition. And the definition of reckless is without thought or without care about the consequences. And I want to tell you, our world is familiar with reckless love, without thought or care to the consequences. Reckless love seems romantic, but it's unstable. Reckless love seems like it's a great, I just don't even think about it. Don't think about the consequences. Don't think about what's happening next. Just jump in. But it doesn't last. Reckless love makes promises that it cannot keep. Reckless love acts before it thinks. Reckless love often comes to a place where it counts the consequences, and counting the consequences, reckless love at times retreats when it's done without care or without thinking about the consequences. And God's love is so much better than that. Isaiah 53 talks to us about this, and beginning in verse 1, Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus comes. 700 years. Listen to what it says. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of day and be satisfied. By his knowledge and my righteousness, my servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Was the birth of Jesus careless, unplanned, or reckless? 700 years before he's actually born, Isaiah prophesies what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Did God just get a wild hair one day up there and go, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just take on flesh, pop on down there and see how it goes. No, that's not what Isaiah is telling us right here. He knew from the very beginning that he would go from being worshiped and praised to being despised and rejected, held in low esteem. He knew from the moment that he would be born that people would hunt him to take his life away. He knew what was coming. Isaiah said there's going to be suffering, there's going to be pain, he's going to be pierced, he's going to be crushed, he's going to be oppressed, and he's going to be afflicted. Jesus knew what was going to happen from the very beginning. Jesus was not a victim of unknown circumstances. That's why it says in verse 7 that we read that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He wasn't surprised. He wasn't, whoa, I had no idea this was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. He thought about it. He saw it. He deliberated. He counted the cost in coming. Verse 12 says, therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life. It wasn't taken from him. He wasn't caught by surprise. He poured out his life. Fits perfectly with what John said about Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 18. John, throughout his whole telling of the story of Jesus' life, wants you to know that Jesus is not a victim, that every moment of his life, Jesus is walking with purpose, and that he could do something about things if he wanted to. And when he's speaking about his life, verse 18 says, no one takes it from me, Jesus says, but I lay it down of my own accord. No one had the authority. No one could. Instead, Jesus came to lay down his life. Jesus walked into this earth. He was born with his eyes wide open. It was not reckless. It was deliberate. It was thoughtful. He counted the cost, and he came anyway. He counted all the cost. He saw everything that was going to happen. He knew what was coming, and he came anyway. This is the love of God. It's the love of God, and it's not reckless. It's not careless love. It's not love that doesn't count the cost. It's not love that doesn't consider the consequences. If God's love were reckless, he might change his mind. If God's love were reckless, there might come a moment when God said, I had no idea that was going to happen, and he might choose to walk away. If God's love were reckless, he might have made a promise that he could not keep. If his love were reckless, something might happen someday that would change his mind. We know reckless love. Our culture is familiar with reckless love. We love that way lots of times. Oftentimes, our love is conditional. I love you, and then something happens, and I say, hey, I no longer choose to love you anymore. Our love happens with partial knowledge. We say, I'm going to love you, but we got no idea what the future is going to bring. I oftentimes laugh at young couples who are in my office for premarital counseling, and they're like, we know each other really, really well. Man, you're going to be surprised. We have no idea what's going to happen. And so we know the hurt and the pain and the struggles that brings in relationships. Our love is often like an emotion based on what we had for breakfast. It comes and goes. And God's love is not like that at all. See, we're so familiar with red. It's so natural. It's so much a part of the culture, this red. It seems romantic. Reckless love feels romantic, but it doesn't last. It's not found in anything that's certain. And God's love is not like that. The scripture is trying to teach us. God's love, man, comes with his eyes wide open. Have considered all of our days. God looked at all of us, all humans who would ever be born. And before any single one of our days was born, he saw them all. And he came anyway. He counted the cost of loving. He considered the consequences. His eyes were wide open to the rejection, to the misunderstanding, to the suffering, to the betrayal. His eyes were wide open to the cross, and yet he came. And he didn't just come for generic human beings. He came for you. He came for you. He saw every part of your life. He considered the kind. He understood what it would mean for him to come and to take your place and for your sins to be placed upon him. He thought about you. And God will never wake up one say, he'll never wake up one day and say, I didn't know it was going to be this hard to love you. It's not going to happen because he considered the consequences. God's never going to discover something about you that's going to make him change his mind. God's never going to say to you, I didn't sign up for this, because he did. He did. He saw it all. He considered all the consequences. He considered all the consequences. And he came. And he loved us. Seeing it all, he loved us. And that's why we have hope It's why we have peace. It's why we have joy. It's why we're so blown away by this Christmas thing. It wasn't reckless. It was considered, thoughtful, seeing it all. He chose to come anyway. And it's this kind of love that transforms us. I know this love of God, not simply because we read about it in the Bible. I know about this kind of love because I've seen it in the body of Christ. I've seen it in you guys. I've seen you look into situations and choose to love people. And your eyes are not closed. You are not reckless. You are deliberate. You are thoughtful. You have a sense of what's going to go on. You know that there's no promise that everything's going to turn out just the way you think it ought to turn out. And you choose to love anyway. That's the love of God. I see so many of you entering into ministry with our community partners, with CASA and the Community Services Clearinghouse and the Hope Campus and Heart to Heart and so many different places. And you're not going in there with no idea of what's going on. You've thought about it. You've considered it. You know the consequences. And it may call you to lay down your life. And you love anyway. That's the love of God. I've seen spouses love their spouse when they know what it's going to cost. And they see what it's going to take. And they choose to love anyway. That's the love of God. And there's nothing like that love. Our culture is so familiar with reckless love. Not thought, it's careless, it didn't count the cost, and yet here is Jesus, knowing exactly what's going to happen, seeing it all, and choosing to come anyway, even at the very cost of his life. And those of us who experience this love, we're transformed by it. So that what Jesus did for us, we now do for others. It's what he's inviting us to do. What we experience from him, what would it mean to honor Jesus during this season would be to look at some people and you now know what they're like and you love them anyway. I talk to people all the time who are struggling with loving somebody. And like, well, well, they're this and they're that and they're that. And I go, and now you know. And now you know, because we have this image of what we want people to be, of what we wish they would be. And yet when that image goes away and you see people for what they really are, when you love them with eyes wide open, it is the love of God. And there is nothing more powerful and more transformative than the love of God. And Jesus, when he was leaving his disciples, wanted to give us a reminder of that. And that's why we come to Holy Communion on a regular basis, to remember. And the very first thing that I always say when we do the communion liturgy is I say, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, was he surprised? Did it catch him off guard? Did he know what was going to happen? Deliberately, thoughtfully, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, what does Jesus do? He loves his disciples. He loved them. And he gives them this continual reminder of his love, so that every time they would come to this table and they would take the bread and they would take the juice and they would think about their messed up, awful lives and all the promises that they've broken and all the things that they were not, they would remember that Jesus knew those things ahead of time, and he chose to love them anyway, and he loves us today. And there's not a thing that we can do about it. He loves us. And he wants us to remember that. He loves you. And all your fears and all your failures and all your sins, none of them will ever surprise him. And he wants you to come to the table today, and he wants you to know, I came for you. And he wants you to come and to receive this, not just knowing it's for you, but what he does when we come to communion is he holds out his hand and he says, now will you go with me? Will you look around to the people that God has placed in your life And God says, will you really look at them and really see them? Stop, but put away all the stuff you want, wish they were, pretend they would be, but can you really look at them and see the people God has placed around you? And will you then love them, even if it's costly? Will you let God's love pour out through you so that people discover this love in which we found life? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you see all of our life. There's not a thing you've missed. There's not a thing we're ever going to do that you don't already know about. And you came anyway. And so we come to this table today pondering this kind of love. The kind of love you called us and designed us to live in. And yet, Lord, we've gotten so accustomed to reckless love. We've gotten so accustomed to being loved by people and then something happens and they choose to no longer love us. We've been hurt. We've been rejected. Lord, we've entered into some relationships and we thought they were going to be one thing and now they're another. Teach us how to follow you. How to love the way you loved us. We remember on the night in which you were betrayed, Lord, how you took bread and you looked at those disciples who would abandon you. And you took that bread and you gave it to them and you said, this is my body, which is given for you. You looked your disciples in the eye and you said, I love you guys. I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to mess up. It's not going to change my love. And Lord, when the supper was near the end, he lifted up that cup and he gave thanks to you. And he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my blood that's going to be poured out for you. Drink it in remembrance of me. And every time you drink it, remember, I'm not surprised. Jesus says, I counted the cost and I choose to love you. And so, Lord, we pray that these simple gifts of bread and juice, blessed by your Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and juice, that they would make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. That we would be a people who would love with eyes wide open. That there would be a distinct flavor and nature to the way that we love those around us. And that the people that we live around, that we play around, that we work around, where we work out, that they would know that it doesn't matter what they do, we're just going to keep on loving them. Just going to keep on loving them. Because that's the love we've discovered in you. Lord, we look forward to that day as we come to this banquet when you're going to come again and you're going to make all things right. And so we come to this table today expressing the foundation of our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We pray all this in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.